this moment, the last word for this morning session. I know somebody's ears are open. Somebody's heart is open. Somebody's eyes are open for God to show us the next thing to do with our lives. Join me as we receive this word for, as I welcome Pastor David Ebiome to be a blessing to us. Give God a big hand as we receive it.
Give that hand to Jesus Christ. If you're clapping for Jesus, you can do it better. If that hand is for the King of all kings, then do it loud and better. Praise the Lord. I want to deeply appreciate God again for this privilege. I don't take it lightly. Appreciate you, my father and my mother. And most times you wonder why I say, B.A. who taught me stewardship. I'm sure somebody will be wondering. To follow our father, you need somebody who knows our father. And I've watched him follow him for 40-something years. So I just follow him to now to follow my father. Amen. He taught me what stewardship is. How to follow. He's been faithful, so all I do is just to look at him and then know how to follow our father. Many have come here and they couldn't stay. He heard Paul say so. So you need a person like Bishop Abiy to know how to follow him for years. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you, sir. That was wonderful. You almost wanted to carry their chairs on their head. Praise God. Our son David said he likes that the Paul's kind of preach is fire. So he has gone with fire. Maybe me, I may not come with fire. Just hear my own. Father, speak to us through your word. And let your word bless our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, you may be seated. Praise God. Don't try to be like another person. If I try to say fire, I'll be a misfit. But I love the fire. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When it comes around, you must carry your chair. That's why you won't get up. Even if you're sleeping, you must wake up. Well, the theme is built to last. And the subtopic I'll be sharing is faithfulness in pastoral ministry. Faithfulness in pastoral ministry. You will hear me repeat most things our father have said. Well, you have to hear a second time. You'll be hearing them before even you came. So if you hear me repeat verbatim, the same things, just say, once have I heard, twice, he has spoken, yes. So once have I spoken, twice have you heard. So if you hear them again, it's just to re-emphasize that it is important. Before I share God's word, I want your heart to be open. Many times you wait for impartation, only that moment to carry. But I noticed from 2 Kings that Elisha, when the mantle fell, use the mantle only once, but the spirit was for life. So don't be interested in the mantle, be interested in the spirit. He didn't use the mantle more than once. After that, there was nowhere in the Bible used the mantle again. But the spirit of Elijah was upon him. Be more interested in connectivity than just carrying the mantle. Elisha did not use mantle twice, only once. He divided the river, and that was it. But everywhere he went, they said the spirit of Elijah don't rest upon him. All I'm more interested in is to carry what our father carries, follow his steps. I'm not teaching theory, I'm going to teach what I've handled here, saw here, walked in my life. Maybe if you hear him, you say, well, it's Papa. If you hear me, you say, okay, it's real. Because if it's Papa, we say, okay, it's Papa, and he has been there, so all this one is talking is him. So, but me, what will you say? Faithfulness means firm and unwavering devotion to something or somebody, no matter the circumstance. Faithfulness means, I said, firm and unwavering devotion to somebody or something, no matter the circumstance. Faithfulness is doing something right. Faithfulness is not doing something right, but doing something right over and over and over. So it's not just doing something right for once. It's doing something right over and over. You can do something right for once, that does not mean you're faithful. If you're faithful, means you are doing it over and over. And I pray someone after today, you will do that in the name of Jesus. In the act of faithfulness, you handle any assignment committed to your hand with sense of dedication and honesty. See the assignment as though you are the owner. That's what it means, faithfulness. Hear this and hear me well. If you leave an assignment the way you met it, or in a worse state, it's an indication that you are not faithful. For lasting impact in ministry, faithfulness is indispensable. Not just the anointing, insight, and the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 1 and 2, it said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2 says, moreover, it is required, so it's a major requirement, in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Where you will be tomorrow is a function of faithfulness today. Unfaithfulness can be very devastating. And God is looking for faithful stewards, and we are stewards. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Ministry without faithfulness will end in futility. Faithfulness adds color to your calling and beauty to your assignment. In Luke 16, where our father read, I'm repeating, I've told you most of the things, I have to repeat them again. 10 to 12. He said, but I'll read 10 to 11 first before I read 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And as unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You maximize the little available to you until it becomes much. Ordinary faithfulness will lead to extraordinary impact in ministry. God will not entrust anything to you until he trusts you. You know, that is verbatim from our father. When God sees your faithfulness, he approves you to take charge of his resources. Where I read in 10 to 11, it says, until you're faithful in the least, God can't give you much. And if you're unfaithful in money, forget, God will never give you wealth. And verse 12 says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, we shall give you that which is your own. God does not rate you according to your size, but according to your faithfulness. He will not commit his treasures into your hands until he finds you faithful. And hear me, faithfulness in ministry is not optional if you must succeed. Moreover, it is required. He says it is a requirement. You know, if you want to get to school, they say you must meet this requirement before you're admitted. So one of the requirements for you to be lifted is faithfulness. He said it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Nothing can be more noble than faithfulness. If you look at Moses in the Bible and Jesus, they had outstanding success in their pursuit of the assignment because of their dogged faithfulness to God. Two of them had a testimony in Hebrews chapter 3, 1 to 2 and 5. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And verse 5 says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. To be faithful in ministry is to be fruitful in ministry. You cannot be more fruitful in ministry beyond the limit of your faithfulness. Faithfulness makes you to be trustworthy. God will not entrust you with greatness without your faithfulness in view. But I'll be looking at areas of faithfulness in the next few minutes. What are the areas I need to be faithful? Because one will be wondering, okay, faithfulness everywhere. One, faithfulness towards God. Two, faithfulness towards your assignment. Now, when I talk about most protege, because most people, we've been talking to the founders, but the most protege don't even go to work, especially where no one supervises them. They said, our boss is not here. So, if the office will open 7, you see him open the office at 10. He doesn't do morning fellowship because nobody supervises him. Most ministers don't even take time to prepare messages. Many don't invest in spiritual materials. They think knowledge is expensive. If you think knowledge is expensive, then try ignorance. Yesterday, our father brought books and showed us. Many will say, those big books, they must be very costly. When you're ignorant, you will know how costly ignorance is. What ignorance will cost you is more than cancer. Because with knowledge, cancer won't come. So better buy books. If you must make a mark in ministry, invest in knowledge. It's not a gift. There's a gift of word of knowledge. There's no gift of knowledge. You don't know it, you don't know it. You don't know it what? You don't know it. Whether our father lay hands on you, knowledge cannot be transferred. You must know it. He came and said, I can never be poor. I will never forget. I just came to Winner's Chapel newly in Akwaja. This is how he put his hands in his pocket. He said, have I begged any of you? I've never knocked on a mortal man's door to ask for a dime. That was verbatim. I can never be poor. I said, how can a man talk like this? He said, nothing this world can make me poor. Where was it? Before I became born again, I've never had that. And they were just moving slowly. And I said, there's something this man knows that I need to know. How can somebody say I can't be poor in a compressed, depressed economy? I didn't assume it. They taught us in Bible school. He taught us the first prosperity, yet poverty was still on the door. I preached tithing, preached prosperity, yet I was not prosperous. That you preach does not mean you know it. In 1997, I shot myself, picked his book, Breaking Financial Hardship, and the testimony he gave, I locked myself for 7 days, fasting, not for poverty to live, for light to come. Take me to Haiti, I'll be rich. Most of you saw it in your internet, I didn't see it. After his name, somebody's name was there, was the third name they put, as the richest pastors. There's no way a lion will give birth to a goat. When they told me, I just laughed. I said, the key is in his hand, his generation. The key is in my hand, my generation. You better know it, because don't use another man's headlamp to drive your car. Number three, I can't use the revelation to prosper. I have to get revelation, know what he knew. Faithfulness towards handling God's resources. He has talked so much on that, so I don't know what me I will talk. Number three, faithfulness in what? Handling God's resources. Maybe let me talk, because it's own. You say, it's our father, let me talk too. So you can believe my own, because I learned it from here. I didn't learn it from anywhere. Now, from where we read in Luke 16, 10 to 12, you already Bible students, you know everything. Before a pastor, preach to a pastor is a lot of work, because they already know the Bible more than you. Just write Luke 16, 10 to 12, you know it. Some of you recite it even from your head. Just say, you are not faithful, I'm faithful. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible said, and I made treasurers over the treasuries, for they were counted faithful. They were counted what? The problem with most ministers is not the devil, but financial hardship caused by their unfaithfulness in their dealings with God. In Proverbs 13 verse 15, The King James said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Now, the New King James said, the way of the unfaithful, it was not direct, the way of the unfaithful is hard. If I tell you something, it may look like a bombshell. But if you're a minister, you're going through financial challenge, I can tell you your major problem is financial unfaithfulness. It may be very hard. It's not where you are. It's not the location you are. You have not been faithful financially in dealing with God. Now, when Bible school, I've told you my story so much, so I won't tell you again. And we are taught tithing, that we have corporate tithing and individual tithing. From April 1997, we have never failed to pay our tithe. Our first tithe was 700 naira, which means it was 6,000 plus, we are approximated to 7,000. And we are on to today. I won't tell you that story. But how many pastors are faithful in their tithing? They've not paid their own, not to talk about the corporate one. Some are not consistent with their tithing. Some are not tithing at all. Any minister going through financial stress, I can tell you that you are not faithful in your financial dealings. No devil. And the major problem with ministers is this area. So when it's not flowing, you have to come with gimmicks. Because if you are not getting it, you will begin to compromise. You will say what God did not say. God is not wicked who called you to make you suffer. So if you're suffering, check your financial dealings. You can preach it. Does not mean that you know it. In the first 9 years of ministry, I heard his testimony. Everything I do, I follow him. There's nothing. It's a be followers, so copy his scriptural. It's a be imitators. It's not your Bible. So be imitators. So if you copy somebody, zero. If the person succeeded, copy him. If you don't copy a failure, copy a success. First 9 years in ministry, I did not travel out of Nigeria. Not to Benin Republic. What changed me was the word. I don't want to just preach. You have too many notes you've got taken. Yet you have not noted many things. He came to the class. I will never forget. We sat down and he said, listen, you will never be great moving from Shomolu to Bariga. If you want to be a great pastor, sit down at your assignment. And I will quote him verbatim. Otherwise, you look like a man in an asylum. And I like to move before then. I love to move. I say, hey, he's talking to me. If you get angry with the truth, you will never triumph, he said. I said, this world is for me. So I say, if I want to be great, then I must sit down at my assignment. For 9 years, I didn't travel. With all humility before God, when we hold our glory reign, which most of you have attended, the entire city of Port Harcourt, when Paul was speaking, I was laughing. The entire city of Port Harcourt is empty. If you have ever been, the entire city is empty. You can drive from one end to another end without a hold up. He says, sit down at your assignment. Otherwise, the world will never look for you. So I didn't travel. I used that time to build myself. Because the route determines how far the tree will go. I will tell you something also. Listen carefully. When we were in Bible school, they told us that we should go for evangelism. So they gave us money. All of us, I was a group head, they gave us money to lead the groups for evangelism. And I led the group. They said we should use the money to feed, that people eat. So I saw most of my mates, they will buy food they've never bought. They say it's Winners Chapel money. They said that church money, now Winners Chapel has money. That was the language many of them used. So they were there, food was 100 naira. They don't sell that kind of food in Nigeria anymore. People buy 300, 400, 500 because they gave us thousands. And I said, will I eat 500 naira if it's my money? They said, boy, not church money. You, they do that's not your power. Why not go church? I asked myself, I was not eating the afternoon. Why would I not have church money and eat? Because I was not eating, I was buying tapes. Either I eat or tape. So the money was not enough, so I skipped afternoon meal, for my table. Every time he preaches, I must have the copy. And I refused to eat. I came back, I returned the entire money back to the church. I said, if it's my money, will I now buy 500 naira food to eat? Since I won't eat it, let me not eat it. So I was the only one in that team that returned the whole money given to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I had this testimony of how they wrote a check in his name. My wife is here as a living witness. Two of us attended Bible school together. They wrote a check in his name and the man said, for the work of the Lord, he said, I'm not the work of the Lord. That's why you must listen to testimonies and draw inspiration. Somebody gave us big money when we had no dime in our hand. And after he wrote in my name, he said, for the ministry, to work in the ministry. I told my wife, this money is not for us. It's not for me. He said, for the work of the ministry. That means it is for the church. I called the man, I said, come, this check you gave to me. He said, no, pastor, it's for you. I said, no. What you really meant is for the church. Rewrite another check in the name of the church. He said, he wrote reluctantly. I said, this side should be done. It's not for me. He didn't say, you just want to honor me now because I said, give back to the church. Because I had his own testimony. When you see a man at the top being the wealthiest pastor, don't get excited. You want to be the wealthiest part of past. Find out what is he doing to make him the wealthiest pastor. He's been faithful. He said he has never mixed living faith money with his money. Those are the things you should also learn. Yes, he has told us. One is to copy note. Two is to practice it. Take note of what you have written in your note. Rewards of faithfulness. Because he has talked so much on money. Money has been the major problem. God does not ignore faithful stewards. He rewards faithful stewards. What are the rewards? Because if you are not faithful, it will show. No matter how you pretend, it will show. Have you seen somebody who has cancer and pretend and it will not show? No matter the person is doing bone face, when the sickness is high, it will show that the person is not well. So if it's not working, it will show. Even if you hide it now. Poverty does not hide. And wealth does not hide. Hope you know. Even your skin, when you're wealthy, shows. If you're poor, your skin will show. You don't know. A poor man would have laughed and a rich man would have laughed and not the same. When a poor man is laughing, you see hunger. When a rich man is laughing, he just says, ha, 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 ha. They say that man is laughing because, you know, nothing is worrying him. Number one, rewards of faithfulness. It guarantees supernatural promotion. In Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 2, it said that I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. That was the only qualification for his promotion. He was a faithful man and feared God above others. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? So if you want to be promoted, be faithful. It may be tough at the beginning, but remain faithful. I can tell you my own experience. It may be tough. It may be what? I say, so some of us are used to using church money, but now he's telling you stop. It's going to be tough. You may not have things to eat, but enjoy it. Just be patient. After a while, one thing with crooked people is that they may look as if they are faster than you. But if you're faithful, you, when you overtake them, it's jet with bicycle. When somebody is unfaithful, it may look as if he bought a car before you. Just be faithful. When you hit the top, they can't meet you. I pray somebody will learn a lesson. Many people had cars before I had cars. Many people had houses before I had houses. I've given 54 cars in 2 months as gift. Because the cars came in such a way that I had nowhere to park them. People were bringing cars from different churches. But there was a time I had no car. Because I couldn't afford one. So don't bother about what somebody said, but just be faithful. Just be. When your promotion comes, it will show. It will come to someone hearing it. In the name of Jesus. Number two, reward. You are entrusted with more responsibility and empowered with more grace. You are entrusted with more responsibility and empowered with more grace when you're faithful. In Matthew chapter 25, 20 to 21, and so he that has received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. God can entrust you because of the one you have done. And push you to, as somebody I'm speaking to right now, you will move to another level in the name of Jesus. The third reward is, it enriches you with diverse blessings. Faithfulness enriches you with diverse blessings. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20, it says, faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man, blessings will come left and right. They will just come. You don't struggle for them. They will come from every walk of life. Shout hallelujah. And then number four. It guarantees transgenerational blessings. Faithfulness guarantees transgenerational blessings. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. If you truly belong to this family, because we're a family, please, one of the qualities of this family is faithfulness. Is what? Because the family you belong to, there should be a trace of their character. In this family tree, there are some character traits we have. And those character traits, one of them is faithfulness. If someone says you are a son of Bishop Edeko, then you should be faithful in your dealings. You can't say, sonship is not just carrying title and one of the sons of Bishop Edeko. It's not the shoe you clean. You have to have the person. They don't need to tell you. They saw the apostle. They said, these people are like Jesus. There should be a reflection of the environment. In fact, even if they don't preach, your lifestyle should depict where you're coming from. Now, let me be very wrong. There are some churches, I won't call churches, there are some churches, when you see their people, they say, this man has a link with this person. Every family has a way. They say, the way he's talking. You hear somebody say, Papa say, you say, okay, see where he's coming from. So I say, Daddy say, okay, this is where he's coming from. When you are from this family, your lifestyle should reflect. It's not your preaching, it's not your eloquence. Your lifestyle should reflect, okay, these are the people. They don't take nonsense. They don't take nonsense. They have a way. They don't tamper with church money. They don't marry second wife. There are some traits. They don't divorce. You know, there are some traits you just have as a lifestyle. They say, okay, that family, if you look for their trouble, you're in trouble. You see, Pastor Paul was preaching. There's no way any man will be this demonized will go the other kind of territory. For our father who was in Kaduna, to be in Kaduna is different. I was telling them one day, I said, most pastors are not pastors in the north. That's what you understand the nature of the environment. He pastors in the north, so when he's talking, better listen. Let's go on. You can't. You know, too many notes you have copied. I've been copying notes from since I came to Bible school till now. So I discovered that it's not the note you copy that changes you. It's the decisions and actions in ministers' conference that changes a man. They can give you all the 15 points, you will not change. You just say, well, this I will not do. This I will do. This I will not do. I've been doing this before, but from what I've had, this I will not do again. That's the most important in ministers' conference. Okay, if I tell you be faithful, I give you 15 points. Faithfulness is number one. You go and preach it. We are copying. Most of us are copying notes to go and preach, not to church. But that's not the reason for ministers' conference. Let me close, I beg you. Amen. I didn't go for many conferences. This is the place. Every time I get it from here, if you want to know my secret, you say, this man, you're running too fast. It's from here. Nothing. Nine. Everything is here. I don't look at them. I say, I collect. I replicate the same thing, and there's nothing wrong. Somebody looked at me and said, you want to be like a headache, but they will not trust in you. I say, go your way. He said, the way you do it as if you're a headache. I say, okay. But now that the result, they say, thank God you'll be following him. That's how you're getting results. You know, when you succeed, people's language change. That time, they didn't see proof. They say, okay, where you're following this man? But now they say, okay, no wonder you're getting this kind of results. I say, thank you. Praise the Lord. You can't truly be rich in the kingdom without faithfulness. Without what? Do you want to be wealthy? Faithfulness is the secret. There's no shortcut. Pastors are struggling in the morning. You know, they are not struggling on how to preach. Many of you preach more than me, sir. If they give you this topic, the way you dissect it. Until you are faithful, until your faithfulness is proved, your reward will not be established. You have to be faithful to God, to your assignment. To your what? To your assignment. You have to be faithful to your assignment. They don't have to supervise you. I was going to office without anybody supervising because I learned it from him. He said, early morning, wear his tie. And that is, I heard his testimony. Most of the things I just hear his testimony. He said, the old people thought he was working in a bank. They will not his tie, enter his beetle, and drive. They said, a pastor, because pastors don't dress like that. And he was serious with the assignment. I said, okay, whether anybody supervising me or not, I have to be serious. I don't have to wait for supervision. If they supervise you, then you're a slave. Only slaves wait to be supervised. Faithful people, they don't tell you. If you're working under any ministry here today, don't wait for your boss to tell you, this is what you should do. You know what is right. Do it now. Rise to your feet. You are going to pray, Lord, I receive grace to remain faithful. To remain faithful. I must be faithful in everything. The things I've heard from the beginning till now, I will be faithful to them. They may be hard for me to do now, but I have to receive grace to do them. Go ahead and pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. Sincerely pray that you remain faithful. Go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. That you will be faithful. Receive grace to be faithful. Are you talking to God this hour? That you will remain faithful. You'll be faithful. In every aspect in the name of Jesus. That you will be faithful. Talk to God. That our grace to be faithful is imparted. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most wonderful name. Give him thanks and praise.